Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/think tank. Enjoy the episode. Coming up next on Leanne Hughes's Work and Live Large.
Been on a lot of flights, and I see a lot of people immediately jump into watching a movie or watching a show or mindlessly doing something, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I like to take advantage of that quiet time sometimes to do some things that might help me become better. I always meditate with every flight takeoff and then usually do a little bit of reading.
Life's too short. You're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you imagine what is possible for you. I've branded the four episodes in this month all related to travel. So this is the first one. It kicks it off. Next week, I'll do a 2x Tuesday based around travel. Then I've got a couple of interviews coming up. So what do I mean by that? Well, last month, I don't know if you heard the news wherever you are in the world, but in Australia, there are a lot of very hectic lineups at the airport. It was taking a few hours to even check in. And these are just domestic flights. And the CEO of Qantas, Alan Joyce, was interviewed around that. And look, this isn't just a Qantas problem. This is an airport operations problem. But he was making the point that, well, we haven't been traveling for a couple of years. So that people are in security, slowing it down. They forget to take their laptop out, all that sort of stuff. And I think it was said, I kind of agree with it. When I went to Las Vegas, even packing for the trip, I just felt like I was out of touch. I hadn't really done a proper pack for a while. I'd been away on a few sort of jobs within Queensland and had traveled for 3 or 4 nights, but an international trip, I was like, what do I actually need? But the media and a lot of people like really blew up at this comment from Alan Joyce because he said we weren't match fit. We weren't traveling match fit. And they thought that he was putting the blame on the travelers. I don't think he was, but anyway, I'm not here to defend him, but I brought up a good point. And so when I hear stuff like this, I'm curious around it. And I was interested in how other people in my network, how they get travel match fit. What are their tips for traveling? There's a hashtag around at the moment that I'm using, and it's hashtag revenge travel. And I'm doing a lot of travel. I'm celebrating heading to Thailand, heading to Hawaii. I went to Vegas, traveling to Sydney, traveling to Melbourne. And I wanted to bring that joy, but also bring some practical tips on how you can work and live large on your travels in this episode. So what I did was I put the call out. I think it was last Monday. I gave people about 5 days to think about what their number one travel tip would be for you listening to the show. And I've assembled them in this podcast. I was going to categorize these into, you know, before the trip, during the trip, after. But honestly, I actually like the serendipity of listening to each of these in isolation. And then going to a completely different topic. I thought that was kind of fun, kind of like a bit like travel where sometimes you don't know what is about to happen. There might be a loose format to this when I hear some opinions that differ from each other. I also had people just comment on my thread, so I'm going to read those voice notes out. And also when I hear something that spurs on an idea for myself, I'll throw in a sprinkling of my travel tips as we go through this one. Of course, if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, please hit subscribe and rate this podcast in your podcast player of choice. And you can find the show notes for this one and things that were mentioned on the show over at podcast.leannehughes.com. I'll probably also be creating a checklist of these tips as well. And if you want that, you'll get it if you're on my mailing list, which you can sign up to. It's free. And every 2 weeks on a Tuesday, you'll get the info over at leannehughes.com/subscribe. All right, now onto the show.
I'm Steph Taylor from stephtaylor.co. And my travel tip, or tips rather, firstly, download the TripIt app because it will compile all of your itinerary based on your travel plans that land in your inbox. And then you can find all of your booking confirmations and travel details in one app.
I just paused Steph there because TripIt definitely needs another upvote from me. It is a wonderful tool for just combining all your itinerary in one. The other benefit of TripIt is that sometimes if you've had a flight change, you get a notification on the TripIt app even before the airline will notify you on their own app. It's pretty clever that way. So the free version is enough. Grab it now. We'll put a link to it, download it in the show notes for this one. Back to Steph.
And my other travel tip is when you're booking economy flights, try to book flights or try to book seats that have an empty seat in the middle beside them. So an aisle seat that has an empty middle seat, because those will be the last seats to fill up. So if the plane's a little bit empty, then you might actually end up with a free seat next year.
Thanks again, Steph. And when she recorded this, I was actually sitting in the Qantas lounge about to fly to Sydney. And I looked, opened up the Qantas app, and then I started playing around with seats, and it's something that I've done in the past. But if you don't have a paper boarding pass and your boarding pass is on your phone and you've got access to the app, pretty much up till 30 minutes till boarding, you can switch around where you are. So what I do is I just keep a constant eye on the seating map if I really don't want to sit next to anyone on a flight. So that's what I did for Sydney. I was on the app just checking it out. I switched from 10C down to row 23. I was in no rush when I got to Sydney, and yeah, got a spare seat. So good. Thanks for the prompt, Steph.
Hi, this is Andy Storch, author of the book Own Your Career, Own Your Life, and a frequent or formerly frequent traveler. And my travel tip for you is that if you're going to be flying on a plane, to try to be intentional with that time. I've been on a lot of flights, and I see a lot of people immediately jump into watching a movie or watching a show or mindlessly doing something, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I like to take advantage of that quiet time sometimes to do some things that might help me become better. I always meditate with every flight takeoff, and then usually do a little bit of reading and look for an opportunity to maybe do some journaling or some thinking or get some work done. Or if it's later in the day and I just want to relax, then it might make sense to watch a TV show or a movie. But my tip is really just to be thoughtful before you fly and ask yourself, what do I want to do or what do I want to accomplish with this quiet space that I have that is really unique and not so usual these days in our world?
Thanks, Andy. And intentionality is so interesting. Like sometimes I'll go with an intention of I really want to get some work done, and then I get on the plane and I just don't feel like it. And then I just, yeah, do feel like watching a movie. But I like the idea of an intentionality. I'll add one to this. So this will be tip number five from me in relation to what Andy is sharing. What I'll do is, particularly if there is no Wi-Fi on board, and even if there is, you can't really download big files, but I'll have a Spotify playlist and I'll make sure that I've downloaded the playlist that I want to listen to, or that I've queued and downloaded a couple of podcasts or an Audible book that I'd like to tune into on the flight. The most annoying part is when you're on a flight and you want to listen to, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this time to listen to this podcast, and you haven't downloaded it to your local device. So in terms of intentionality, linked to what Andy's saying, that would be my tip for you. And then jumping in for number six, I'm going to share a thread that was on LinkedIn just in relation to, do we work on a plane or not? Liz Barber, who I used to work with, shout out to Liz. She says, don't plan to work on the flight. Take the headspace and dream, read for pleasure, or watch a film. I am a sucker for a new book on a plane, oh, and a notepad or something to track ideas. So she shared that. That's tip number six. And then Derek on LinkedIn added that he likes to have more intentions. So I think it's really all about the context dependence on this, and like how long your flight is, where you're going, how do you want to feel when you get there? What have you got when you got there? But yeah, the good thing is we all have a choice. Speaking of Derek Von Tonder, here he is with tip number seven.
I would say that my biggest overseas getting ready for travel after COVID tip would be to print out all of your documentation. That means your passport and your visas, but especially your COVID-19 vaccination certificates that you can print from the government website. This stuff is really important, and once you have it printed, you can easily grab it from your bag at any time during your journey and keep it with you in your carry-on luggage, not your checked luggage. This has saved my life a few times. I also recommend making a color copy of both your passport and driver's license, because you never know if you lose your passport when you're traveling, then all you need to do is go to a consulate and show them your printed copy, and it's much easier for you to get a replacement if you do lose it or your wallet is stolen or something like that.
I've kept both of Derek's tips as one tip because I actually create a compendium. If I'm going on a trip to like America or something where you need all the things that Derek said printed, here's my tip number eight. I just store them in a display folder, like a 20-page plastic sheet display folder. And I have it in order of events. So right at the front, I have the itinerary printed from TripIt, right? So it's all there. Then it'll be like, okay, what's my first, what's going to check first? The COVID certificate. Then the flight, and make sure you have the return flight printed as well, because sometimes you can't enter a country if they can't see your return flight. And then at the back of the display folder, I'll have the copies of passports and things like that. So I know it's very reassuring. I'm having to dig in different places. It's all in one. And the Virgo inside me is very pleased by that. And, you know, we've been talking about planes a lot. We will go back to it, but surely there's other ways to travel. Let us know what tip number 9 is, Tim.
Hi, I'm Tim Ferguson from Audience, and my travel tip is to take the train. Yes, take the train. I know this is not possible everywhere in the world, but I live in Switzerland, and we are, you know, the epicenter of trains. I've been traveling from Basel to London multiple times, Basel, Paris, Basel, Berlin, and can plan to continue in the coming months ahead, because it's just a great way to travel. You look out the window, you read a book, you write in your journal. There are no security lines. You don't get that dehydrated issue with being on the plane. It's just fantastic. So if you can, travel by train. I will mention, of course, that it's better for the environment. Thanks, Leanne, for everything you do.
Thanks, Tim. So great to hear from you. Tim's been a guest on the First Time Facilitated podcast. He's been mentioned there quite a few times, so it's lovely to hear him on the Work and Live Large show, Tim. And good call out to the environment. I was very, actually, as I mentioned in my intro, how I was traveling everywhere, I was like, gosh, that really does sound like I'm not being environmentally conscious. So, gosh, I wish we had, I mean, we're in an island in Australia. Wouldn't it be great to have bullet trains between our major cities? That would be amazing. Speaking of the environment, I wanted to call out Dr. Catherine Lloyd's contribution over Instagram. So I put a post up on Instagram looking for ideas. And here's what she said. She's got quite a few tips. I'm just going to roll them all under Catherine's tips for tip number 10. Here we go. My tips: travel business class. Definitely in work time, get access to a lounge. Fly less and fly better. It's better for yourself and it is better for the environment. And she also added these ones. 1, turn off the internet. Don't get sucked in. I always get sucked in. 2, sleep if you can. 3, read if you can. 4, chill and watch a movie. 5, I find it quite a productive time, so I do write or plan. It's a good headspace for that. I totally agree. 6, don't drink too much alcohol. 7, drink lots of water. And back to my original tip: quality over quantity when it comes to travel. Thank you, Catherine. Great to hear your thoughts. That was all rolled under tip number 10, just on the topic of water. So Catherine brought it up, keep hydrated. Tim brought it up and said that's the advantage of trains, is you don't get that dehydrated feeling. But if we are traveling by planes, we're going long haul, how do we stay hydrated? Let's hear tip number 11 from Peter D.
Hi, I'm Peter D from In Search of Adventure show, and my travel tip is for those long flights we're all hopefully going to go on as we have more adventures. One above is my ninja tip for these, and this is a tab, a bit like a Barocco, that you put in your water. You put it in about 0.5 liter of water and you drink one of those about every 2 to 3 hours. This means on that flight, Sydney to LA, 14 hours, then you will have drunk at least 2.5 liters of water full of all sorts of other goodies like B vitamins. These have meant that I've found in those long trips, I have nearly zero jet lag. I would highly recommend them. And if you want to make sure you level that up, then the bottle you take on the plane with you, just make sure the top of it is big enough for the Barocca shaped tab that you're going to put in the water and you don't look like a doofus the first time I use them. Enjoy your traveling and adventure, folks.
Thank you, Peter. And actually, on the topic of a water bottle, I don't know, this may be a tip I'm just going to add to what Peter has said, but it's hard to choose. Like, so I've got my favorite stainless steel water bottles, but they're not really collapsible. They kind of hit your knee. If you are sitting in economy and you've got them in that just seat pocket in front of you, they're kind of annoying to have around. And they are a bit heavy as well. So maybe consideration is like a collapsible kind of travel water bottle you can get. Although my favorite stainless steel one is this one I have from Peloton. It's just so good. And it would definitely allow those Barocca shaped tabs in the top. Speaking of handy things to have with you, I think water bottle, I'd say it's number 1, but obviously passport would be number 1, water bottle number 2 for me. But some interesting thoughts here. So first of all, we had Grace Hopkins. I met her through the Frequent Flyer Australia page on Facebook, the group on there, and she wrote, pack BluTac. It comes in handy for covering the annoying LED lights in hotels when you want to go to sleep. She also adds to that, only to buy dark coloured luggage or As I think we all know, if you've bought something quite light, it will become dark colored with dirt, which is really unfortunate. And she also mentioned to download offline maps before you leave the country in case you're lost without Wi-Fi. By the way, back to BluTac and what Grace was saying. If you don't know what it is a reusable putty-like pressure sensitive adhesive produced by Bostik, commonly used to attach lightweight objects to walls, doors, or other dry surfaces. And yes, that was a definition from Wikipedia. The reason I share that is when I went to Mongolia to run workshops, they're like, Leanne, can you please bring all this BluTac? So I actually brought a lot of BluTac with me over there. It's a very handy pocket-sized thing that you can take along with you. Something else that is handy that is pocket-sized is something that I'll get Kate Crawshaw to share in tip number 13 for you.
Hi, Leanne Hughes. It's Kate Crawshaw here from Sirius Woo. I thought I would give you my travel tip, which I've actually shared with quite a few people, and they've always come back to me and said, oh my God, that was so good. When I go away, I always pack lavender oil. So lavender oil is great for far-flung destinations where you might need it to go when you need to just go somewhere special. On your bed, to give your room a sense of kind of homeliness and calm. And yeah, it's just good. It's good for, it's antiseptic. It's good for like stings and stuff. Lavender oil for the win.
So good, Kate. And yes, lavender oil and for the win should totally be used in the same sentence. I think it's great. Anything that's sort of pocket-sized that can have a dramatic effect, I love. And here's one more, tip number 14 from Nicole Wilson.
Hi there, this is Nicole from bemore.global. My favourite travel hack for years and years, it's the small, simple things that are important to me. And when I'm on a plane, I love my tea and my coffee. So I always travel with a small Ziploc bag with my favourite coffee bags, my favourite Twinings teas, and my favourite herbal teas.
Thank you, Nicole. And I'm just getting a sense here about like when we travel, we also want to bring a sense of home with us as well. And one thing that's really hard to do when you travel is navigating those time zones. And so here I've got a tip coming up from Steph Clark, tip number 15, where she shares a combination of bringing home with you in order to counteract the effect of time zones. Curious? I'll pass over to Steph.
Hi, Leanne. It's Steph from Steph's Business Bookshelf podcast. My top travel tip is to avoid jet lag. I am fastidious about this and don't suffer from jet lag as a result. And my tip is to make sure you sleep and eat, really important to do both, aligned with your destination. So if you are going from Australia to London, for example, as I'm doing next week, I will pack all of my food. I don't eat any food on the plane that is provided by the plane. I also take an eye mask, which means I can sleep even when they don't think it's sleeping time. And I align all of that to London's time zone. So as soon as the day I travel, I start eating and sleeping as if I was already in London. Make sure you do that all the way through the flight, even though it might not work with when the meal times are on the flight, which is why it's important to take your own food. And then you arrive at your destination ready to go.
Steph, I really have to commend you on this because my biggest hurt is that I just love all of the airline food. I actually love airplane food. I know that's a bit weird, but I enjoy seeing what is on offer. And usually I base my whole trip around eating. But you're right, like sometimes it comes at really inconvenient times. And I know there's been trips where they serve breakfast like 2 hours before you land and it's like 4 a.m. And so I love that how you've taken sort of control of this and it really helps you to arrive feeling fresh. Talking about arriving and arriving in style, Alan Weiss, the million-dollar consultant, I had to ask his advice, of course, and he emailed back sharing this thought. Amex offers a diamond service, I think it's called, where for a moderate amount, representatives pick you up at selected foreign airports or at your plane and just bully you through customs and immigration. It's rather amazing. I boarded right after the crew once in Rome with the first class passengers wondering who the hell I was, which I like, of course. He is the rock star of consulting. I'll go back to his comment. In Munich, we simply walked past everyone, even people with express privileges, and the guy chatted up the immigration agent who stamped my passport without even talking to me. They bring luggage handlers when they know that you have checked baggage. And I responded to Alan, I was like, oh wow, it's like, you know, you feel like a celebrity for 15 minutes type of feature. And he goes, we should all feel like celebrities 24/7. I love that. Now just taking this from a itinerary perspective, right? You've been whisked through, you feel like a glamorous celebrity, you've been whisked through immigration. Now you get to your hotel. What do you do next? Let's hear from Tisha Reid for tip number 17.
Hi, it's Tisha from Reid Training Group, located in Toronto, Canada. And my tip for traveling, especially when staying at a hotel is always check for bed bugs. I know due to COVID and the lack of travel for the last 2 years, you know, it hasn't been really a big issue. However, they are still around, unfortunately. So what you do is when you get into your hotel room, never put your luggage on the bed. You can put it on the dresser, you can leave it by the door, what have you, but the bed is the last place you want to put it. Turn down your lights in your hotel room. Use your phone flashlight, lift up all the 1001 covers that they put on there, and check along the seams of the bed. If you see any bug casings, any blood splatter, or any bugs, let the front desk know immediately. Once that's all clear, enjoy the rest of your night. Take a hot shower, jump on the bed, release the inner kid in you, and have a good night's sleep.
Wow, Tisha, I'm totally guilty of getting into a hotel room and like throwing my luggage on a bed. So thank you so much. This is the best part about creating this episode, is just building an awareness of things I didn't even know to consider. Now, I've never had an incident with bed bugs, touch wood, but I have had friends that have been bitten by the bug, and it is horrific. Like, it's actually horrific. So this is a really good preventative tip. Thank you so much for sharing. When I get to that hotel in Bangkok on Friday, I'll be turning the lights out and putting my mobile phone light on, and my husband will be like, what the heck are you doing? But I'm saving our skins, like literally. Thank you, Tisha. While we're talking about at the hotel, you might actually be thirsty when you check in. And I want to share this tip from Marcus Crowe from 10,000 Hours, who I just serendipitously ran into in Sydney last week. And he shares this: drink the chilled can of soft drink from the hotel minibar and replace it with a room temperature one from a supermarket after your morning walk the next day. Hashtag expense management. So clever. Because what we're really paying for there is accessibility, right? And laziness, really. Well, really just we want things instantly. We're paying to get that spontaneous hit of a cold drink, particularly when you get into like a warm country. I remember getting into Jakarta and there was no water in my ride back to the hotel, which was about an hour. I was so thirsty. This is why I sort of recommend the water bottle as well. But Mark, is such a great trip. But the key is to actually get out onto that morning walk and to remember to grab it. There's been times where I've just forgotten and I've, you know, headed out and it's been on the hotel bill. All good. Thanks for tip number 18, Marcus. Now, let's say you are out exploring, you're trying to find a convenience store. You'll need an offline map. And I think Grace alluded to it earlier when I read out her message, but I've got a message from Tremaine here. It goes into detail on these offline maps and how you can actually set these up.
Hi, Leanne. This is Tremaine from soon-to-be Greenhouse Group project in the Netherlands, Eindhoven, the Netherlands. My travel tip would be to download an offline version of the map of the area you're going to visit, especially if you're very new. And in fact, even if you're revisiting and going back to the same place, it's a very smart Google function, and you can even control how wide the area you want to download the map for. So that this will ensure that if you don't get connectivity when you do land immediately, you will still be able to find your way to wherever you're going.
Tremaine, thanks so much for that tip. And I know that you and Yuri were in the airport when you recorded this, so I just love like hearing that background noise. And hey, if you've got Yuri there, let's throw to him for tip number 20.
Hello, Leanne. This is Yuri from the Baltic Souls, live from Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam on my way to London. Hey, my little travel tip for you is to always, and I mean always, make sure that you have a Ziploc bag with you. It can be used to put all kinds of things in, but I mainly use it for delicate software, let's say a hard drive or something like that. On a rainy day, put your phone in there. Anyway, Ziploc bags, always, always useful. That was my little travel tip for you. Catch you soon.
Again, a Ziploc bag. It's light, it's portable, and very much underrated. And I think one more that I'll add to that, we'll go for tip number 21, is to carry around like just a laundry bag, like a mesh laundry bag. It's just such an easy, simple way of, and I know there's plastic bags around, but I just prefer having a mesh laundry bag there to isolate like what your dirty laundry is. So you just don't get it messed up with all of your other stuff. I'll quickly add tip number 22 and 23 here. 23 is my lucky number. Well, tip number 22 is to, if you are in Australia, join the Frequent Flyers Australia Facebook page. I find it just incredibly, sorry, it's a Facebook group. I find it just incredibly incredibly useful tool for finding out about lounges, about access to flights, about current situations at airports. You get really good behind the scenes material for people that are actually flying. And also, if you are looking for a lounge pass for an airline, they have a spreadsheet in there where you can like just jump in and you can offer out a lounge pass, or you can see if someone's going to be, say, in LA when you're there, and if you can rendezvous at a certain time so that they can allow you into the lounge. I love the community aspect of that. And I'm not too sure what's available in other countries in terms of those groups. So if you are in like other countries and you can share some tips on the groups that are worth joining, if you have any recommendations, email them through hello@leannehughes.com or Instagram, all of that, all the platforms links are in the show notes. Now, speaking of this group, Jamie Newland is in the group and shared this tip about what type of luggage to actually buy, right? So I always use skateboard branded luggage. They actually have skateboard wheels, making it easier to use and more durable. I gave up on the hard cases too after many wheels smashed over the years. Dakine make a bloody good bag. Dakine. I looked at their website and they actually look really good and robust. And I love that we can take things like outside of the travel industry, like skateboarding, and use it to make our lives better. So thank you for that tip, Jamie, as tip number 23. Now, let's say we're having an amazing trip. How do you remember that? How do you bottle up that memory? Here's a tip from Matthew Knight.
Whenever I travel somewhere special or overseas, I'll go to the duty-free section in the airport and select a fragrance or a cologne and spray it. And that way I have a special smell for that place. And then in future, I can either buy that cologne or just go into a local department store and smell that fragrance again and have a memory bank triggered full of wonderful memories of travel.
Thanks, Matt. And often the airports have like the best fragrances available, like luxury brands or the newest fragrances. So it's a really cool way to see like what's available and see what you like. And if you love it and you want that experience relived, you can just absolutely prime it using your scent and, you know, buy the bottle for later. Now, most of the people that have contributed to this are, we just love travel. But I thought I'd reach out to my friend Travel by Stephanie and get her thoughts. She's a travel agent. So what is her number one tip? Over to you, Stephanie, for tip number 25.
Hey, I'm Steph from Travel by Stephanie, located in the beautiful Tweed Coast of Northern Rivers, New South Wales. And my travel tip is be really careful when you're mixing alcohol with extreme sports or anything to do with car hire or moped hire, because the moment that you mix alcohol with those things, and if you were to come to an unfortunate event where you have an accident, it's really hard to claim anything back on travel insurance, because the moment that they test your blood or do a breath analysis and they can sense that you have alcohol in your system, your travel insurance is null and void. So next time that you go up the ski slopes, for example, you go and have a beautiful sake at a restaurant and then go snowboarding back down the hill, if you have an accident on the way back down and you've got alcohol in your system, yes, it's not going to work in your favor. So hopefully that's something to keep in mind for next trip.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And look, it's something I didn't really consider. I thought, look, if you absolutely are drunk, of course your insurance won't cover it. But then I'm thinking, well, if you have one drink up at the top of a mountain in Japan and you go and then something happens, like that is really interesting. I hadn't even considered it. So thank you so much for raising my awareness of that, Stephanie. And speaking of insurance, I interviewed Ryan Sofly. You should check out his YouTube channel, link to it in the show notes. He'll be coming up in next week's episode. I asked him what his number one tip for travel was, and he mentioned travel insurance. Here's a quick snippet of our conversation on what he looks for when he books his travel insurance.
Before I fly, just go to comparetomarket.com.
Yep.
Look at who's the cheapest and who gives you the most at that price. Because one thing I like about comparetomarket.com is you're able to put in your requirements. So you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And the next step is looking at how much each cost.
Thank you, Ryan. And definitely make sure that you've got that COVID insurance as well. A lot of countries will check for it just to see that if anything happens, that you can afford, or your travel insurance will pay for the cost for you for extra lodging as you isolate. Hey, I've just had one come through, one final voice message from Paula McCarthy, and I'll share that with you now before I then share my tips and some of my favorite ones that I read online to ramp up this episode. Over to you, Paula, for tip number 27.
Hey, it's Paula McCarthy, founder and lead consultant of Working Dynamics. My favorite travel hack is to take a cotton crepe bandage that's washed and sun-dried so it doesn't smell, and gently wrap it around your eyes when you're wanting to rest and withdraw from what's going on the plane. It's a yoga relaxation technique, but it's really great for sending a message for people not to offer you coffee and tea, etc., and also to help you when withdraw your senses when you're wanting to get some rest. Bon voyage.
Thank you, Paula. And Paula is someone I'll be hanging out with in Hawaii very soon, next month. Can't wait for that. Absolutely bon voyage. Okay, so a couple of my tips I wanted to add to this. Number 28, definitely pack a change of clothes or whatever you absolutely need as essential. Take it on with you on the carry-on flight. It is not worth the risk. Like, assume that your luggage won't make it there and just determine what you need. I had an incident when I played netball for Papua New Guinea. We were playing a test series over in Samoa, and the team manager, we just checked in our luggage, checked in our uniforms. So we got there and we didn't actually have playing uniforms to play in. We had to borrow these, some Samoan teams' outfits. They just were ill-fitting. But I remember playing for state teams in Australia and would always just have our netball uniform on carry-on. So from like the age of 15, that was like drilled into me. So just assume that your luggage will not make it and take whatever you need on a carry-on. Number 29 is from Aiden Shui that contributed on the Frequent Flyers group. And so what he said was this, and his two tips rolled into one. Biggest tip is to have everything ready before security. Take out your laptop and tablet before lining up to make it easier. Yes, please. I think this is part of the onboarding that Alan Joyce was talking about. I just so appreciate when people are like efficient in that line. Aiden is a baggage handler. So he also adds, for luggage, always have four-wheel luggage. Your baggage will get thrown around more if it has crappy wheels, as it makes it harder to move the bags around. And his third tip, actually, which I love and didn't really think about this in the context of travel, if you have an iPhone, get some Apple AirTags and put one on your luggage, passport holder, and carry-on bags. Also, we'll put a link to the Apple AirTags. I've been checking them out now. I didn't know they existed, but how cool. I think I'll even get them for my keys at home. So great tip, Aiden. Thank you so much. Tip number 30 comes from Chris Knight, again, a member of Frequent Flyers Australia. Now, Chris travels quite a bit. 2019, a standard year, I spent 94 days out of the country. In 2022, I fly to Singapore. I feel like a newbie. He also uses the TripIt app and something called the Revolut card, R-E-V-O-L-U-T card. I'm a Forex trader, and this card is the absolute best for Forex trading rates. And the card has tons of features. Plus, check out seatguru.com to make sure you're not taking a dodgy seat. I love seatguru.com. If I know the aircraft, I know the flight number, it helps you if you are flying economy to pick the right seat. Or even like this flight that we're going on, Chris and I, on Friday, I'm flying business with Singapore Airlines, but they've got, so there's two seats. One that there's like, you can sit together, but there's one configuration where you actually have a big divider in between you and you can't really see each other. And the other configuration, which is on every second row, allows you to like hang out during the flight. So I've picked the latter option for our flight, but I only found that out by looking at the seat plan and also checking out seatguru.com. Again, one more from the group from Sarah Francis. She was talking about the availability of flights and airfares, that actually there are plenty of airfares out there much cheaper than anything online. She has a travel agent that said to us, sometimes if you go to a travel agent, you actually get more availability and more options because the agents get an allocation of cheap seats, and what is online is what is left. So what her agent says is that we often corner the market. So her tip is actually, yeah, try a travel agent because they might have access that you're not even aware of. Tip number 32 comes from Phil Diver, who connected with me on LinkedIn, and he said, the best travel tip, Leanne, is when ringing Qantas to sort out some hiccup in your booking, have two devices in your hand, one phone for the call and your iPad with at least through two or possibly three episodes of your favorite TV show. I think it's in relation to the long wait times. But also with that iPad, similar to what I was saying about Spotify, is that you can actually download your favorite episodes. With Netflix, you can choose to download episodes to your device, so you can stream it directly if they don't have your favorite show available on your flight. Thank you, Phil. Tip number 33 comes from my friend Nick Murray, who is actually based in the US. And she says, travel as often in whatever fashion you can afford. You can always afford to travel, and you should. It opens your eyes to a new world of people, places, and cultures, and gives you huge perspectives to be more forgiving and understanding of our world. Be creative and never leave home without an open mind and sense of humor. This year, we are traveling more than ever with the most measly budget you can imagine. Think outside the box and trust people first and foremost. Thank you, Nick. And I cannot wait to follow your adventures on Instagram at Big Oz Trip, BigOzTrip. I've got two more. We're at 33, so 35. It's a nice number, I think. I think tip number 34 should be like have a bit of a grab pack. What I mean by that is this is a pack. It's like kind of maybe similar to what Yuri was saying, a bit of like a pencil case where I've got things like hand sanitizer, my AirPods sitting in there. And it's just something that if I'm changing like my carry-on bag, I just grab this grab pack and put it into a new bag. So it's something that's very versatile. I'll have it in my handbag and just move it around. It's just those handy things that you just wish you had on hand when you need them. But also those pocket-sized things that kind of they'll get lost if they're sitting in a big bag. So like a bit of a grab bag I think is often helpful. I actually get mine, the one that I still use are from Chatuchak Markets. They've got some awesome bags there. That is in Bangkok, by the way, and I'll be heading there on Saturday. I cannot wait. Tip number 35, this is nice and simple, is just to smile wherever you go. I think if you're in really tough situations or even just going to immigration, it can be hard. I just always give someone a smile. Like I think even if you don't know the local language, a smile is universally recognized and it really does open you up to warmth and opportunity and makes you more approachable. But also who doesn't love getting a smile? And I know that is it's not really a hack, but I think it's really stood me in good stead when I've had some tricky situations overseas or even just trying to negotiate some things or, you know, asking for some favors from hotels for late checkouts and things like that is just to approach it with a smile. Obviously, with no intention of getting one back, just giving it out. It's free. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's been an absolute delight to share. And look, I'm sure as you listen to this, you're probably thinking of all of these other tips that we could possibly add, maybe to a series two, to an episode. If you do, please send them through. Send it through to hello@leannehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with like a friend or someone that's about to head on a trip. And if you have any other comments or want links to anything, just reach out. Again, available on LinkedIn, over Instagram at Leanne Hughes and on all the platforms. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope you have a wonderful adventure wherever you go in the world. You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.